they should do for Christ or something they want to reach out for, if it comes from within, one will be at peace about it. If it comes from within yourself, you'll handle it. You'll feel comfortable with it. If it doesn't come from within the Spirit, it's fleshly. And it has the seeds of disaster in it. It's a fleshly thing. It doesn't take the Spirit of Christ to get people to give. All these telethons that are by the scores of people that don't know Christ at all and have no spiritual motivation can be psychologically pressed into giving exorbitant amounts of money. So just because a person has a great ambition to give a large amount of money doesn't mean the Spirit of God is behind it. Just because they go beyond their means doesn't mean the Spirit of God is behind it. That's a typical human failure, going beyond one's means. You do what you feel comfortable with. And you may have to crawl along like a tortoise, but you'll keep going. And that's why year after year after year, people can maintain their interest in Christ, interest in these meetings, for example. We have people who have had, think of a particular couple, had a meeting in their home for 20 years, every week. There are people that have been coming to the meetings for 30 years, every week, coming to meetings, and you know, just once in a while, but I mean as far as their application, have been deeply committed to the work, the ministry for 30 years. Some of them here 25 years or more. Marvin and Lane have been here 25 years with us. We've got young men in our institute that have been coming for 8 years every week to that institute. 8 years, studying the languages, studying the Bible, you know. Now, what is it that, and of course, and that's without a degree. I'll give them a diploma. I don't know if they want one, but not going to mean a whole lot, but they get a diploma. We've had some fellows that have gone on to formal work from there, but what is it that keeps these young men hanging in there like that? Every week. 8 years. They don't even like to stop for holidays. Because the Spirit of God initiated that interest. You see the difference? If I went around the country telling fellows that they ought to come to this institute, then they wouldn't last very long. I never encourage, I don't even advertise the thing. And yet we have young men that have come from all over the country. From Massachusetts, for example, and from the Middle Western states, from New York, from the North, and yet the word has gotten out, but I never advertise it, I never push it, I never go up to any young man and say, you know, you ought to be in the ministry. I try to tell him he shouldn't be. No, I make it hard for him to get in. If they want to come to the Institute, they got to go through me first. I mean, we've got to talk to them and check them out and see if this is the thing they ought to do. It's the pace, you see. It's pacing themselves in terms of what has come from within and not some load I have put on them from without. I can't take any credit for anything that goes on in our operation because all I do is sit here and talk to people about the Lord. I don't have any tricks up my sleeve. I'm not sculpturing people's lives, giving you the word. The Spirit has to sculpture your lives. It's raw reality. There are no gimmicks, nothing to hide behind. I can't give you a merit badge or brownie buttons or anything else. I give you the word, and you listen, and the Spirit of God strikes a note in your hearts according to what He wants to do with you. And it's not up to me to put anybody on a guilt trip. Not up to me to say you're not doing all you ought to do. How can I say that to you? How can anybody say from the pulpit you're not doing all you ought to do? How do they know what people ought to do? If I'd known today, if I'd known 30 years ago what I know today, I'd have probably said to myself, forget it, Lord. How can I tell these people what to do? I think it's a height of presumption for anyone to step out and say, I can be the Lord's representative. I think that's very presumptuous. I wouldn't be doing it except that the Lord dragged me into it. But if I had known then what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. Why? Because I think it's a foolhardy for me to think I can be God's representative to tell anybody anything. Still, he seems to want that done, so we do it. But he gets the stuff out. As I said before, it's amazing that we have the publishing chain and channel that we have, because they've told me that, in fact, the fellow in whose home we've had this Bible study for 20 years has told me, you write it and I'll get it printed. There's no limit on it. If I want to get something printed, why, that's it. And that's still today after all these years, so he's still interested. And the reason I bring it up only is this. It's something the Lord put on his heart to do. The people that function in our operation down there, the Lord put it in their heart to do. There's no reason in the world why any of those people would have stuck with us except that the Spirit of the Lord brought them there. Because it's a tough grind. Double drill and no canteen, as they say. It's not a cushy job, you know, that outfit down there. And we get battered by Satan a lot, you know. But the point is, dear friends, I can't stress it enough. Be at peace. Do what the Spirit in you gives you the grace to do. And not more than that. If you have a sense that you ought to talk to somebody, fine. Just commit it to the Lord and tell him, and then just say whenever you're ready, you work it out. And it'll go that way. Now all of this goes back to the point of the energy of faith, which is built off of the concept I moved on into the 12th chapter of Romans, where it says to evaluate ourselves from a level-headed position, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but evaluating ourselves as God has given to us the measure of faith. Now, of course, somebody says, well, that's a shoe-in for the inferiority complex thing. The person says, oh, I can't do anything. That's true, as a matter of fact. I mean, you hear people saying, like from the pulpit, they'll say, well, you may say, oh, I can't do anything, but you can. And I say, you may be right. Maybe you can't do anything. I don't say, yes, you can. I say, maybe you can't. Why? Because if God has put it in you to do it, you're going to do it even if you can't do it. It isn't your feelings of great personal superiority that's going to get you through. Paul was called inferior. Paul said, only by the grace of God I am what I am. And he said, I'm not even worthy to be in the ministry at all. I shouldn't even be in a ministry because I was a blasphemer and a persecutor of Christians. Paul did not feel he had a right to be in a ministry. He said, the Lord put me in it, so here I am. That's why Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. Now, it wasn't, what that expression means is not because of the love of Christ I go out and do these things. But the love of Christ in my spirit pushes me out. And I feel that way. I share that same feeling with him. The only reason I go out. It's the only reason I am presumptuous enough to think that I ought to sit here and tell somebody what to think. Or what do I know about God? I've studied for 35 years or more, but I still don't know anything. It's too much to know. I know some things. I study the Word, and what I'm telling you, I speak from conviction about it, but I'm, after all, just a human being. If the Spirit of God did not minister to you through these words, you wouldn't have anything here. I wouldn't even sit here and talk to you about it, because it's all too much up in the air. What do human beings know about God? well, it's, the grace of God has somehow touched us to say, here are some things that we can be confident in. The things I say to you, I am confident. I wouldn't say them. If I'm speculating, I tell you. But if language has a meaning, there are things we can say here. But I would not be presumptuous enough to think that I ought to be God's spokesman. He seems to feel he needs this channel to get some word out. And I try to prepare the channel adequately to be a reasonable channel. But it's all got to be from the Spirit of God. I would not have the faith to come and talk to you if it weren't for the Spirit of Christ. I did not work this up in my mind. I didn't even want to do it. I'm glad to do it for your sakes and for Christ's sake, but it wasn't something I sought. I fought against it. I mean, I had to give up an awful lot to do it. I just don't sacrifice, but I mean, a lot of money was involved that I had to set aside to do what I'm doing. So I didn't come rushing into this thinking, oh, how lovely I'm going to serve Jesus. I thought, you know, it's the opposite, but I have to do it. I'm compelled, as Paul was. The love of Christ in him constrained him to do it. Like with all the writings, we don't sell anything. You know that. The publisher put a number on the book, a price on there, but that we don't pay any attention to that. I purposely avoided getting a tax number because I felt I wanted to be, in every honest sense of the word, a ministry to people. So we didn't go to the Board of Equalization. We have a number that we report on, our franchise tax number, but we don't have taxes to report because we don't sell anything. And that means nothing is sold. So I don't even make a quarterly return because I don't have anything to report. We've done this. What I'm saying to you is it's all something that is given. So it's all something we're doing not to make a living, but to serve the Lord, and He's put that upon us to do. I'm saying to you, don't go beyond your capacity. Now, the Lord has given to me the faith to do what I'm doing, but He wouldn't give me the faith to go beyond that. I don't have the slightest confidence in the world that the Lord wants me to go on television or radio. And yet, if you sat down and thought of it logically, you could think there might be a lot of things that could be replaced on television. I think I could do a job there. And it would seem obvious if you want to get the word out, at least to be on a radio. I don't have the slightest confidence that the Lord would support me in a radio ministry. Now, people say, well, that's lack of faith. You're absolutely right. It is a lack of faith, absolutely. But I lack the faith because the Lord didn't give me the faith. You see that? I accept that lack. I'm a four-banger. I'm not an eight-banger, I guess. Four-cylinder. Maybe a motor scooter, I don't know. But maybe one-cylinder. But you see, I do what the Lord gives me the faith to do, and I don't start looking out, oh, if I could only expand my ministry and so forth. Well, I've kept, you know, I've been very low-key and stayed back, and yet here it goes out all over the world, but I haven't pushed it. We've got a couple of men coming from Marseille. They'll be with us for a few weeks, Famine and Danielle, who have taken upon themselves in Marseille to distribute our literature in not only France, but Africa. I didn't ask them to do it. They wanted to do it, you know, so they do it. And we have people up in Canada that distribute our stuff. They just get it by the thousand. They send it out all over the interior of Canada. So my stuff is likely to wind up back in the wilderness of Canada somewhere, not because I pushed it. But what I'm saying is it's all low-key. And I do just what the Spirit of the Lord gives me the grace to do. Now, the reason I say that's all personal, and it's not an egotistical thing. I'm not anything to be that egotistical about. As I've said before, humility for some people is a virtue. For most of us, it's a fact of life. Nothing to really get excited about. The reason I bring it up at all is because I want you to feel comfortable. Well, a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't feel comfortable. You should feel always up there. Well, that wears people out. The Lord did not bring us into his family to be his robots or his peons or whatever. We're his family. Yes.
Jesus gave Martin orders in the sense of the Great Commission, go out throughout the world. Were those orders that he had to give those apostles so they would do it?
That's a really good point, good question, and I'll be glad to deal with it in depth. In the first place, I have to say to you that, and to anyone, that I'm not Jesus. And of course, a lot of ministers think they are Jesus, but they're not. But the so-called Great Commission, as people call it, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, was a corporate commission. Of course, he's talking to the disciples there. But remember the next clause that says, teaching them and baptizing them. Now, if you can make a case for every Christian going out baptizing people, then you can make a case for every Christian going out and being an evangelist. No, it's a corporate thing. When I minister like this to you, you're part of that. Corporately, you share that with me. We do it together. I happen to be the mouthpiece. I happen to be vocal. Some people have their silent activity, and they pray, and they give money, and they do a lot of things. This coming is a sharing of the Spirit. We do it together. We're all one. So when he says, go ye into all the world, preach, baptize, teach, everybody does their thing, and the net result is a witness to the world. And some people go out and usually distribute the booklets, the literature out in other parts of the world. I have to say that it's a general corporate command. Now, the next point is it a command? That is to say, you have to do this. Well, what is the consequence of not doing it? If it's a command in a legal matter, then you have to put it back in the law era. It's not a command per se as it is a wish, a desire, an instruction. The difference between an instruction and a command. The Lord says, go out and spread the word around the world, and the church has done that by everyone working together in their little, each one with their own little gift. The task has been done in a marvelous way, and the Lord touches different ones with the fervor to do different things. And some people have the fervor to go out to the tribes of Africa and so forth, and they do that. That's not something I've had the fervor to do. It's not something the Lord apparently wanted me to do, but other people do that. God has fulfilled that. But then I'm going to conclude, and I got to stop because my alarm went off, with the thought of Jesus' prayer in Matthew 9, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Lord sends the laborer out. I don't send them out. I have no right to tell anybody to go. And Paul never told anybody to do that, incidentally. I think we have to be very careful when we stand in front of a group of people, what we urge them to do, because there are people that are susceptible to things that will go off on a tangent because somebody has pressed them to go into the field and they have gone and made and been a failure. I've had to pick up the pieces of people that have been stirred up to go out to the foreign field and they've been a failure out there and they come back and they're a wreck. Army Navy recruit tactics, you know, you're yellow if you don't go and all that kind of baloney, you see. One so-called missionary statesman, although I have a different evaluation of his statesmanship, said that no one should hear the gospel twice till everybody's heard it once, and that is just dumb. You've got to have some people who've heard it quite a bit so they can go out and teach other people. The same fellow said, many people have thought if everybody goes out in the foreign field to work, who's going to take care of the churches at home? He said, never mind that. The devil will keep enough people home to take care of the home churches. Now, that is just as dumb as I can think. And this fellow was a nationally known or internationally known missionary statesman. And those are words I heard from my himself. I didn't read him in a book or anything else. I heard him say that, and I was sitting there. Listen. There's so many cockamamie things that come out of the pulpit, but it's all extraneous. It's more than the Bible talks about. I want you to remember, Paul never sent anybody. I mean, he appointed ones that were already to go, but he didn't himself push people out. Because I guess he figured he wasn't Jesus either. But I could push some young fella to go into the work and he's not qualified for it at all. That's why I don't ask people to come to the Institute. I never ask anybody to come to our school. Never. Because I might mislead them into thinking they had something they don't have. But when they come on their own and the Spirit of the Lord brings them, then I know that there's something there. So, well, I've gone over time. I hope that gave you some modicum of response. All right. Father, we ask you to take these words and give to us what we need through them. In Christ's name, amen.